Hi, this is Hugh Greenwood from the North Melbourne Footy Club, and you're listening to another episode of the Hashtag Kangaroos podcast. Here is your host, Dean Basich.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vasic. You can find me on X at hashtag Kangas, Instagram hashtag Kangaroos Podcast, TikTok hashtag Kangaroos One. So tonight is Ladies Night, and I have the pleasure of having Siobhan Rowe and Marnie Cohen to go through positional battles. Obviously, there was a lot of news in the last couple of days. Not a lot of news, but one big news story, and that was Taryn Thomas. So it's good to get their thoughts on that nice and early. Now, these are allegations, so we were very clear with that at the start. So, yeah, we're not going to jump to any conclusions just yet, but hopefully that'll sort itself out in the next few days. And, yeah, and we obviously talked about a lot of the positional battles. And Marnie also has a lot going on with Josh Neal on the Further North podcast. There's details about that and what's coming up there. So let's not waste any more of your valuable time. Let's bring on Marnie and Siobhan to chat about the positional tiers.
So tonight, I welcome back to the show on Ladies Night, Thursday's Ladies Night, Marnie Cohen and Siobhan Rowe. Welcome, girls. And before we start, Marnie, you have something going on with Josh Neal. I think it's Feb 25th on a Sunday, I believe, with Further North, Josh Neal, I should say. Just tell our listeners what is going on there and what that is.
Yeah, thanks, Dean. So we have a Further North live show happening on the 25th of Feb. It's a Sunday afternoon. We're doing like a little North Melbourne Sunday sesh pre-season, kind of get everyone excited for the year. I feel like we all need a little bit of that at the moment. So Josh and I will be there. The North Closer to a Flag guys will be there. Charlie Comben will be there. It'll be like a live podcast and then just hang out with that. Like, you know, everyone can hang out, have some drinks and, you know, hang out with Charlie after the show. Tickets go on sale on Monday. They'll be $15, I believe, ahead. And it is at the Bonehead Brewery in Kensington. So we are really, really excited for that. And hopefully, you know, as many North fans can make it as possible.
Yeah, well, that's just up the road from the train station, isn't it? Kensington train station, I think it is. So, yeah, you can have a few drinks if you wanted to. Just catch a train there and, yeah, it's not too bad. But, yeah, definitely get behind it. Josh has obviously put a lot of work into it. And, yeah, obviously getting an AFL player as well, Charlie Comben, you'll be able to ask him questions about how the pre-season's going and his expectations for the year and how he's going to be an All-Australian centre half back and so forth. So, yeah, no, it sounds really good. Obviously, you know, if anyone wants to contact you or Josh, just give them where they can contact you, I suppose.
Yeah, so if you guys are listening, if you have any questions, you can send me a message. You can send the Further North Instagram or Twitter page a message or Facebook page a message. Probably the best way to get in touch with us, and we're happy to answer any questions that you guys have about the show or anything like that. It will be a really, really fun afternoon and lots of audience participation, and we have quite a bit planned as well. So it'll be a lot of fun. Yeah, so hopefully we can see as many people down there as possible. But if you do have any questions, just feel free to shoot me a message and can answer and help out in any way that I can.
You're going, Siobhan, as well?
I'll absolutely be there, and that's a really awesome initiative. And you know, they do a great job, Josh and Marnie and the rest of the Further North crew and the Closer to a Flag guys. So it'll be an awesome experience, I'm sure, and yeah, can't wait.
Oh, well, if you're going, Siobhan, you've twisted my arm, so I'm going as well. So, yeah. It's probably $15. I mean, yeah, that's nothing really. So yeah, for a day out, and you get to talk to yourself, Marnie, Josh, Siobhan, I'm sure she'll answer some questions as well. And, you know, an AFL player, that's a really good, you know, afternoon. So, yeah, why not get down? Hopefully the weather gods are pretty good too. So, yeah, no, definitely get down. And, yeah, we'll obviously mention it a lot more over the next in the coming weeks and, yeah, just before pre-season and so forth. So, yeah, exciting times. But we'll move forward. Now, we will start with the latest developments in the last couple of days. And obviously, this guy has gotten in the news again. Just when we thought the road was quite smooth, Taryn Thomas. Now, allegations were made against him and through the AFL. But it's fair to say, Siobhan, and I'll start with you on this one because you've been quite vocal with him in the past. This has made me a little nervous. How are you feeling?
Yeah, look, obviously this is an extremely sensitive issue, but I was saying to you guys off air that I'm just a bit tired of it. I think that we're in a really crucial phase as a football club with this young, maturing group coming through. And we need positive energy, positive press around our football club. And we've had enough negative talk around our club to last a lifetime in the last few years. And I just want to move on. And if that moving on means moving on without Taryn Thomas, then I think that's probably the best thing for everyone. But everyone deserves a right of reply. And I've got no doubt that the appropriate processes we put into place in this particular situation. But how many times are we going to have to deal with this? I don't know what's going to happen from here on out, but I'm trusting that the right thing will be done. And if you were to ask me whether or not I see him continuing on with the club, the answer is more than likely no, if there is any more wrongdoing to be found or more stories to come out. I just think we just need to cut our losses as a club if there is further investigations that are completed that show that any sort of element of everything that's been going on is actually true. I'm just tired. I want to start focusing on football and winning games and watching this list grow, and I'm sick of the negative press. But here we are again. And let's just hope that it's the last time we hear of it, of any sort of indiscretions that relates to Taryn Thomas, because yeah, we want to be talking about him playing good footy, not off-field antics.
Yeah, definitely. And we obviously his football quality speaks for itself. But Marnie, we know the history of Taryn Thomas, and these are allegations just to start with, and there are no police charges laid against him just yet. The victim went straight to the AFL, and it has been handled by the integrity unit, or is getting handled by the integrity unit. Now, he has a meeting on Monday, and these are fresh allegations unrelated to the last couple of years. We don't need another media circus like Siobhan sort of mentioned, like this time last year with Clarkson and the racism saga that went on there, and Taryn Thomas this time last year as well. We don't need that, do we, Marnie?
No, I completely agree with what Siobhan said. It is really frustrating that, you know, we're trying as a football club on field to get back on track and, you know, to start winning some games and start moving up the ladder. Ultimately, football is about, it's a game, it's a sport. And, you know, we need to put all the right pieces in place for success. I'm not willing to jump the gun on any of the allegations. As you said, Dean, they're just allegations at this point. And we were speaking about it off air, and I just, it's obviously disappointing news, regardless if it's true or not. It is just another distraction when, all by all reports, you know, the off-season, you know, we have been seeing some really great signs of improvement from some key players and the playing group as a whole. So for this to kind of come back up again is incredibly disappointing. But in terms of the allegations, I mean, I'm not willing to jump the gun and make a decision either way. I'm happy just to let it sort of play out. And I have no doubt that the club will take the actions that they deem appropriate once, you know, the findings come, whether that's following his meeting on Monday or whether that's later in the week or in a couple of weeks' time. Unfortunately, we do just have to buy our time. And that just is what the club seems to be doing at the moment. So I'm happy just to trust them and, you know, hopefully it's business as usual for everybody else at Arden Street.
Yeah, I mean, I think the club put out a statement today. I think they know as much as we do by the sounds of it, to be honest with you. So, yeah, obviously we'll know a lot more next Monday. And fingers crossed, there's no more dramas like Siobhan sort of said. Now, before we go into positional battles, Siobhan, we had a top 10 in time trials last week. Do you put much importance into those sorts of things? Because most blokes come back pretty fit just after the Christmas period because they do get training programs. But I don't necessarily put too much importance into it because I think it was Daniel Howe that won our time trials last year. Not to disregard Daniel Howe, but we've had Lance Piccioni win it and players like this. I mean, I don't think we need to put too much importance into the top 10, do we?
Not necessarily, but I do really like the fact that Jai Simkin was the one leading the front. Again, there were some real positives that came out of looking at who was in the top 10. I mean, Griffin Logue at number 7. Yeah. Hello. Like, I think that was probably the most exciting element of that particular time trial result. I think he obviously is on track to play again this year, and by the looks of it, is really trying his absolute hardest to come back into the side and contribute following that ACL injury. Dylan Stevens, I think it just kind of further highlighted him coming runner-up, that he does have that incredible sort of athleticism about him. And that also really excited me, because I envisioned him on one wing, Bailey Scott on the other, and from all reports, he's very a great runner and really has great endurance and athleticism. So that's quite exciting there. The part that worried me a little bit, I mean, I'm not trying to read too much into it, but I mean, Liam Shields coming third, that's obviously a testament to him and his professionalism. But I would have liked to have seen a few other names up there. But in saying that, I mean, it's a one element of the preseason training and aspects of all of that. But I still think we're a little way off being where we should be. I mean, that obviously is highlighted by where we finished the last few years. But no doubt it's only one part of the preseason element. But I just get the feeling there's a strong emphasis on being able to run out games better in this year's preseason. But yeah, it's just one little part.
Yeah, I mean, man, it seems like from all reports, preseason training, they seem to be doing a lot more running. Is that an indication of how we might want to play? We want to be a bit lot fitter, and we might want to play a bit more run and gun this year, as opposed to previous years where it was a bit more slow paced. And by the time our third quarters rolled around, we looked out of gas in some games.
Yeah, I mean, given that we are a young side, and we definitely have one of the youngest lists in the competition now, if not the youngest, having an emphasis on fitness and the ability to run our games is super important, and trying to build the tanks and the endurance of our players and our list. I think that's super important. Given that our defence is probably the biggest, and I know we'll talk about positional stuff soon, but given our defence is probably the one area of the ground where the most question marks really lie, it wouldn't surprise me if we did play a more, you know, run and attacking style of football. I think that the way I see the year going is that I think we'll be a lot more attacking, and I think we'll score more, but I also think we'll be scored against quite a bit as well. And so being able to sort of generate play and take it from, you know, end to end of the ground to alleviate pressure off the back line a little bit seems to me like it would be the smartest move heading into the season. And so I think that, you know, given where our defense is at the moment and how I feel, and I'm sure there's other people who feel the same way, that we probably will start to inject a little bit more pace and a little bit more run and flair and carry into our game plan this year, then that, you know, an emphasis on running, you know, makes total sense in the off season.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the strength on our list is probably, getting players like Zach Fisher, Dylan Stevens, Colby McKercher, they'll suit a game style where you're trying to play a lot faster. So, yeah, it makes sense that, we'll probably want to play that sort of way, but obviously we'll know a lot more when the preseason games get underway. Now, Siobhan, we'll get into the positional battles now, and I'll start with you and start in the back line, as Marnie was just talking about. Now, I don't think Logue will be ready round one, just based on previous ACL injuries and the recovery time. I think it'll only be about 7-8 months since he did his ACL, and generally it's about 10 to 12 months before he come back and play footy. And I'm sure the club will be extra cautious as well. Now, we have a battle for key position defenders. I don't know if it's a good battle, to be honest with you. I've got Biggie Newen, Will Dawson, Callan Dawson, Aiden Corr, Charlie Codman, and Toby Pink as the key backs. Now, which three would you take out of them? Or would you maybe go two and a bit of a smaller defence and maybe Bergman playing as a third tall? I'm interested to get your thoughts on it.
Dean and Marnie, this keeps me awake at night. It really does. It's I wish we were having a different conversation and we had some different names in the mix. I 120% agree with Marnie that the back line is probably the weakest, certainly the weakest link in the team, and an area of the ground that we're going to need to protect with all our might. I do also think we're going to play a very attacking type of brand of footy to try and protect the defense, but it just means that one error, the ball's going to go over the goal umpire's hat down the other end, which really worries me, just purely because when we come up against sides like Carlton, for example, you've got two monster key forwards. I am concerned about how we're going to find a way to contain those forwards. But I think clearly Core is probably the first selected in regards to the defence. Some of the names you threw around there, Dean, I'd probably go with Callan Dawson. I don't know why my gut's telling me that, but I just feel like out of the rest of the other key backs on our list, he's the one that I trust the most, which, again, is frightening to sort of say out loud. But then I'd also think that Pink would probably play over Big Nguyen. I just think he's probably got a little bit more experience, even though it's not in the AFL system, just his kind of interceptability and aerial kind of presence that he's showed in the SANFL is probably why I'd probably lean more towards him. But I just have a feeling we're probably going to go with Dawson, Pink, Comben, who I think will start as well, and have a Core and maybe a Bergman or a Zach Fisher, even as a halfback, not sort of obviously playing on a player, but more creating that drive alongside Luke McDonald. But I think this year there'll be a significant emphasis on our mids running both ways and helping out the defense. We're going to have to get as much sort of personnel and help down there as possible to ensure that we're not scored against really heavily. That's probably my take. Interesting to see what you guys say too, because it's obviously not a lot of options, especially any injuries. I'd get really concerned about what we do from there.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on it all, Marnie? I mean, I think you're pretty excited about Aiden Core. You were a few months ago. I don't know if you still are, but give us your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, Aiden Core, I was, you know, completely dead against him at the start of last season, and he totally won me over in the second half of last year. And that is, you know, any player that we publicly criticise, is, you know, all we want is to be proven wrong. And that's something that Aiden Core definitely did for me last year. Obviously, Logoside, I think Core and Comben probably start as our main two defenders. The thing with Aiden Core is that he plays his best football when he's the second tall rather than the third. I think he really struggled in that sort of third defender role alongside both Mackay and Logue last season. And I think that him playing in that second position as a taller defender is what suits him better. But he's not that traditional lockdown key defender like Mackay was, like Logue is, and like what we're trying to, you know, what we're trying to develop Comben into, because he's just not as tall as them. And he maybe just doesn't, you know, that's just not kind of the role that he plays, despite the fact that he played this one incredible shutdown role on Buddy Franklin once upon a time that I always talk about. But I do think as a starting point that the two of them will probably start. I think that Callan Dawson, for me, really needs to have a chunk of 10 to 12 games in the senior side. I haven't seen enough of him to suggest why he can't be a good defender, why he can't cement his place in the 22 because of the very small sample size we've seen. I mean, he hasn't set the world on fire, but I just don't think he's really had that opportunity to prove himself. He obviously was taken in the mid-season draft in 2022. So he was playing, you know, played three or four games in 2022 on the back of no, you know, preseason. And then last season he had his first full preseason and only got a game in round 23. So I'd be really interested and really willing to give him a chance to have, you know, give him, you know, 2 months of football and just see what he can do, unless, you know, it all goes horribly wrong and, you know, he gets dropped for just being terrible. I also agree with what Siobhan said about Toby Pink. I see Biggie probably more as a bit of a longer term project. The other thing with Biggie is that he has the ability to play ruck. And that's obviously another area of concern, and we may want to trial him in the ruck as well. But I would like to see Pink get a bit of game time as well. He was on Sydney's list. He's been on our list previously. While he hasn't played AFL, he's obviously a bit more of a mature body. He's a bit older. He spent a bit of time at professional level in the sample. So I'd be interested to let him also play a few games. But if we're talking about round one, I would be going for Combin and Core as the 1-2 punch, and then call on guys like Bergman and McDonald, and then you obviously got someone like Zach Fisher who's going to come into that back line as well to kind of bring the ball out of defense. So that is probably I would probably at the start go with two tall defenders and Core being that second, and then just see how it goes from there.
Yeah, I mean, preseason will tell a lot in the early games. But, yeah, I'm pretty similar with you girls. I'll go Cole Combin and Callan Dawson at this stage. I thought he was a bit stiff not to get a few more games last year. Callan Dawson, like you said, Marnie, I think he deserves that opportunity. Toby Pink, he's probably there or thereabouts. And, the other two, Biggie Newen and Will Dawson, are probably still, development sort of players. Although Biggie Newen's been in the system for 3 years, I think, or something like that. So, slim pickings at the end of the day. So until Griffin Lowe comes back, then it might be a bit more settled. Next one is the ruck combo. Siobhan, I'll start with you this time. And we have Sherry, CCJ, your favourite player, Finbar Maley, Taylor Goad, a couple of rookies there, which probably you'd have to think wouldn't get in. Hamish Free and maybe Biggie Newen, like Marnie sort of just said. Which two would you select, or would you just select one of those and maybe have Greenwood as a second ruck?
Yeah, this is another really tough one, and I was hoping that there would be a bit more flesh as sort of part of this too, but... I would probably go the obvious, and I hate to say it, but I think the Sherry Coleman Jones combination is probably what we'd stick with. Taylor Goad's probably more the project player. If he played this year, that would be an incredible achievement. But I just feel like, as they say, talls take time, and he's one that will probably be simmering in the background for years to come. I would probably suggest that Sherry would be the automatic selection. But in saying that, his second half of last year was incredibly disappointing. And what I also find is difficult with Tristan Sherry is he's not the type of ruckman that you can throw forward. I just think when he's in the forward half, the ball will just get rebounded out of there too quickly. Not to harp on the past, but you'd probably suggest that if it was Todd Goldstein, then if you put him forward, he'd at least sort of be a bit more competitive. I hope I'm wrong about Tristan Sherry. I really am. But I just get this feeling that he's probably a bit too one-dimensional for where the game has actually moved when you think of a ruckman. And then when it comes to Callum Coleman-Jones, I mean, I know we're talking about the forward line a bit later on, but I see him as being that sort of second fiddle to Nick Larkin. He also can play ruck, so I would suggest they'd probably go with those two if they went with that decision, or it would be Sherry with Coleman-Jones sort of as the relief ruckman while he plays up forward. And again, like, I think Megan Newen's probably going to need some time, and some of our other sort of younger ruckmen might get a chance later in the year. But I think Clarke will play it safe with those two to begin the year.
Yeah, I'm interested to get your thoughts on here, Marnie, because I know you haven't been Tristan Sherry's biggest fan ever. But, what would you be looking at there?
R.I.P. Honestly, this is just this is what the back line keeps Siobhan up at night, and the ruck situation keeps me up at night. Honestly, I would be. I mean, Sherry and CCJ is the obvious 1-2 punch in the rug. I am interested to see how Sherry goes without Todd. Got the presence of Todd Goldstein kind of looming over him. Again, I want him to prove me wrong. Like, that's what we're aiming for here. I want him to be this superstar ruckman. I want him to just have this breakout year and, laugh in my face for the rest of my life. And I would want nothing more, to be honest. But maybe having, Goldstein while Goldie wasn't selected round one last year against the Eagles, and Sherry was you know, selected as the number one ruck, you know, you've still got the presence of Goldstein kind of hanging over your shoulders. Now, to me, that would suggest that maybe that would motivate Cherry to perform and keep his spot, but maybe it's just something that's kind of, it's kind of just been a bit of a monkey on the back sort of situation. And maybe he kind of, and I'm hoping this is what happens. This is like my, I'm manifesting, I'm putting it out there, right? That maybe, you know, he turns around and says, well, this is my ruck now and I've got to make the most of it. Yeah. Do I think that's going to happen? Unlikely, but I, you know, I'm being given the benefit of the doubt here. Coleman Jones is a good backup option and he does have the ability to push forward. But if I was North, I would be watching the state leagues like a hawk and hope that there's someone in there that impresses in the first half of the season that we can pick up in the mid-season draft and they can slot into the side straight away. That's what I, that's what I'd be hoping the club's doing. I don't think that Cherry is the long-term answer, but I just don't think there's a lot of rucks in like floating around in the system at the moment that are available. I mean, you know, a lot of rucks are pretty settled at their clubs and, you know, those that aren't really that good. I mean, Jordan Sweet was the only one that we're really connected to in the off-season and we missed out on him. So, yeah, I'm interested. I'm interested to see how it goes. I mean, obviously, the club sees something in Cherry that that well, I certainly don't. I think a lot of supporters over the last 12 months are sort of also starting to question. You obviously know my thoughts on Hugh Greenwood having him as a backup ruckman, but I just don't think that's something long term that really has legs either. I think that Hugh Greenwood will, if he plays this season, will play predominantly up forward and potentially rotate through the midfield, you know, in time. But the rest, I mean, Goad, I don't know if we'll see him this year. Biggie, again, also potentially long-term project. I'd be interested to give Hamish Frey a shot. He's been on the list now for a bit. And I think that, you know, if he's there, give him the opportunity. Why not? But unfortunately, the best that we've got at the moment is Cherry and CCJ as a 1-2 punch. And I think that's pretty dire, if you want my honest opinion.
Yeah, well, it doesn't give me much hope. But, yeah, look, you talk about state leagues, and Tristan Cherry dominated in state leagues when he came back from a serious leg injury. So I don't know if he can always go there. Yeah, we do have a couple of project players, which is good to hear. At this stage, yeah, I think Tristan Sherry's got the inside track. And for me, I'm probably going to go Hugh Greenwood as a second ruck. I really like him there. He's got a good vertical leap. He's good around the ground. He can rest forward, and you know, as a, almost a defensive forward. If you've got a good rebounding back, he could, you know, play as a tagging role on him and on that. He played at in round 23 against Gold Coast. And he looked okay. He kicked a goal, I think, as well. So I don't mind him as that second ruckman, because if you're just going to have, you know, Tristan Cherry and out of form, if they're both out of form, you might as well just go Hugh Greenwood. I mean, he plays as, almost as an extra midfielder if you're going to have him as second ruck, because he's quite athletic from his basketball background and he's a very young 31-year-old. And I think we need a bit of experience in that team, Marnie, because we've lost about 834 games with three players and over 300 games in the last 12 months. So, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. All right, Siobhan, your turn, and we'll go with our second tour forward. Now, you might have mentioned this already to help Nick Larkey. I think you'd probably go CCJ, but there's nothing here really. Finbar Maley and Biggie Nguyen, maybe, if they put him forward, who looked all right at Richmond in the VFL apparently last year. And that's, you know, you talk about the ruck being slim pickings, but, yeah, this is real slim pickings, unless you have someone else in mind that I'm missing out on here.
You know, like, I'm really looking forward to talking about the midfield, Dean. it's actually very glaringly alarm bells ring for me when we break down these lines like we are tonight. Like, I think we've done a great job in bringing in really quality midfielders, but every other area of the ground has been so neglected. And Nick Larkey, I mean, I know I sound like a broken record when it comes to talking about him, but to see what he has achieved in the last few seasons, last year in particular, almost winning the Coleman medal in this side, playing a lone role really in the forward line, is just such a testament to the type of person and player that he is. He's just a little superstar, because he doesn't have much help when it comes to the tall forwards, does he? I honestly can't think of anyone else that we can put down there that's noted as a key sort of forward. You have to go with Coleman Jones, don't you? Unless you're rotating Coleman through there. But then if we could morph some of these players into two, I would do that in a heartbeat, because I think the clear option's Coleman Jones to rotate with Sherry Ruck forward. Coleman, of course, if they decide to play him forward, but he's obviously being trialled in the back line. And I think if that works, then that's where he'll stay. That's the only answer I've got for you, unless we really, you know, needed to try something different and we went with Finbar Maley, who is a noted ruck but has played forward. We sampled him down there, which is actually probably an option that I think we'll take throughout the year, because there's only so much that one person can do. And if he gets injured, I'm very concerned about where we go to from there.
Oh, if Nick Larkey gets injured, we're pretty much fucked. It's part of my friend.
Said it.
No, we're not going to kick a goal if he goes down. Touch wood, touch whatever you can, because we need him playing 23 games. Marnie, have you got any other thoughts on a second key forward possibly?
Yeah, I think the discussion around Finbar Maley is really, really interesting. David King was at North Training, I think it was last week, and he had, heaps to say about Finbar, seemed to be really singing praises for him. I'd love to see him play at some point in the year. Whether he takes that role from CCJ as that second forward ruck and rotates through there. I'm not sure. I know that Greenwood is going to be playing, like I said before, if he plays, he'll be playing predominantly in the forward line. And while he is not 200 centimetres, he can play taller. He did play, he had that great quarter against the Bulldogs. That first quarter, he took a couple great marks and kicked two goals. And, he kind of was up and about and he was fit and firing. He's a pretty reliable mark as well. And he's just a smart player overall. And if he makes a mistake, he's, going to chase his own ball, and he does apply the pressure and he does tackle and, he can, he is that two-way runner. And so I'd really like to see him, just a bias thing, I'm just talking about personnel and talking about leadership and experience here as well. He's a good player. Like, I'd love to just see him get a chunk of, a couple months, leave him in the forward line and just let him kind of do what he needs to do. I would avoid moving Comben from the back line at all costs unless it's experiment over. That is the only time I'd bring him back into the forward line. I just don't think it's a good idea. He's a young player and he hasn't had a lot of game time anyway. So, swinging him back to forth and, from attack to defence, I just don't think that's going to benefit him or us in the long term when we really need him to stay in one spot. But whether, he plays in the back half of the year for the first half of the season, they don't think it's working. Logue comes back and Comben comes forward. I don't know. I mean, again, it's all pretty up in the air at the moment. But I also just think that, think about a few years back with Richmond and when they won their first premiership, they kind of went on that one tall forward model with Jack Riewoldt, and they had, sort of more and the rest of the forward line was modelled on that with more sort of mid and small forwards. We do have a pack of players that sort of are that mid-size, smaller size forward. So whether we adapt to this more attacking game style, we can move the ball into the forward line a bit quicker and potentially, we do have the opportunity to hit up these more like mid-forwards, and we do have, active small forwards who are crumbing and who are doing a lot of the groundwork. That's also something we might see during the year. And I wouldn't rule that out either. But at this stage, it's most likely going to be CCJ. But I would really like to see Greenwood in that role as well.
Yeah, I've got Greenwood as a second forward. Apologies, Siobhan. I don't have CCJ yet. But, I've got Greenwood and Zerha. If we're going to play run and gun, you could probably get away with it. And if you have to go long down the line, which you can't play run and gun for 120 minutes, then you can go long. And I think Greenwood can give you a contest and just get it out of bounds. And then, we generally, I think, we'll talk about a midfield soon, but that's going to be our strength and, our clearances. And, we've obviously got a lot of depth here. So, we don't have many options. So I think sometimes just putting square pegs in round holes might be the best option. Now, Siobhan, we'll go to small forwards. We have Paul Curvis, Harry Sheezel, Blake Drury, or Robert Hanson. One of them, or are you thinking someone else maybe?
This is where it gets really interesting because we've been discussing how there's very much slim pickings, and now you've got an area of the ground where I think we're starting to get to an area where it's competition for spots. I think Zerha's probably automatically selected, and how good's he looking at the moment? He looks in ripping nick, really probably taking his game to a new level this season, I hope, but he seems to have dropped a few kilos and really looks like he's putting in the hard yards, which is nice to see. And I think I could be wrong in saying this, and I'd be interested to get your guys' thoughts as well, but I think he's probably the first sort of automatic selection. And funny enough, I think the next one for me is Eddie Ford. He had a really good second half of the year, and I think he's another one that can almost play as that medium size. So you're not relying on ground level necessarily, but he could almost play as like for Zerha in many ways too. This is an area of the ground I've had to give a lot of thought to because I still don't think we have a damaging small forward that's a purebred small forward on the list. But I think Harry Sheezel plays forward this year. I'm really confident that that the halfback experiment, if you want to call it that, was a huge success, but it's time to really let him play on his X factor and instinct in the forward half. Nothing will excite me more than seeing what he did for us in that game against the Swans, where we almost clinched the win and he was the reason for it. He's just so electric around goal, and I think that's something that we're really missing. So I wouldn't be surprised to see McKercher potentially take over Sheezel's role in his first year, but I just think that it'd be silly not to have him playing in the forward half. So I think those are probably the first three that start in that role. And then there are so many other options. I mean, maybe Zach Fisher plays as a small forward, if not off half back. There are some options there, but I'd probably go with those three as our small forward options.
Yeah, what about you, Marnie? What are you thinking there?
Yeah, I think Zerha's a really interesting one. I loved what he did in the midfield when he went into the midfield last season. And I think he, as Siobhan noted, and I also noticed, he absolutely looks like he's come back in the shape of his career. And his transformation over the offseason, in my opinion, is the best that I've seen from anyone on our list at the moment. I could see him and Sheezel rotating forward and midfield. I think that both of them would add incredible amount to the forward line and in the midfield. And I think they could probably rotate through and play them both sort of, you know, smaller, give Muta free reign. Harry Sheezel is the X factor player in that forward line. And I have him as the X factor player ahead of Paul Curtis because he's a lot more consistent as a footballer on the whole. I think Paul Curtis can go weeks and do nothing, and then he can, you know, light set the world on fire in one quarter, and then he goes missing for another 3 weeks. So that is, I think, the two of them rotating through this, you know, between the forward line and the midfield makes sense to me. I would also have Eddie Ford there as an option. He obviously was playing on the opposing wing to Bailey Scott, but with Dylan Stevens in the side now, he'll probably move more up forward. He is more consistent than Paul Curtis, and that is why I'd have him ahead of Paul Curtis as well. The hard thing is that Paul Curtis is an X factor player.
Yeah.
And if he had the ability to play 75 to 80% consistency rather than at 60 to 65% consistency, then he would be my lock. But it's really hard to commit to him when he can go big chunks of time and go missing and not contribute at all. The thing with Eddie Ford is he is a workhorse and he has a really good defensive side to him as well. So that's the upside with him. The other player I want to talk about is Jaden Stevenson. I think he's been probably a bit forgotten about as well. But the first half of last year, I mean, he had an excellent start to the season. And he really, really turned the form around. And I think a lot of that has to do with his relationship with Clarko. It's been spoken about quite a bit. I'd love to see him get out on the park and get back to his best footy because he's also an incredibly damaging player. I don't know if it's that X factor level where I'd put Sheasel and I'd put Cheezel in there. I'd probably put Zerha in there to an extent, and I'd put Paul Curtis in there to an extent. But I think Zerha's become a lot more of a team player than an individual in our side. And I think he's needed to do that. I think it really benefits the club. And then obviously Harry Cheezel, we've spoken about him already. He's just a superstar. It's nothing else, nothing new there. And then Paul Curtis is a bit inconsistent. So I think Stevenson, you know, when he's at his best football, he's really reliable. Eddie Ford, Eddie Ford is reliable because he had a really, really great year last year. So I just think it's about consistency for me because I think all of these players have so much upside. But so few of them, we're getting the best out of so few of them. I'd argue that we haven't even got the best out of Zerha yet because he also takes a while to get himself going. Seems like now is his time when he's like, yep, I'm ready, I'm on, and he's on from round one. So they're the names I'd be floating with. I'd be interested to see more of Hansen Jr. I'd be interested to see more from Jury as well, given the talk around him as a leader and that, you know, people really rate him at the club as a leader. Long term, I think that's super important. But that's, I think, the Zerha, Sheasel, Ford, Stevenson is kind of where I'd be going, and I'd be putting the pressure on Paul Curtis to break himself into the side.
I'll just very quickly add, Dean, that I should have mentioned this particular player, and Marnie raised some really, really good points there. I believe by the end of next year, when we're getting into round 15 onwards, Zane Dersma will be a regular feature in the forward line. I just have a feeling that he'll take a little bit of time, but he'll be knocking down the door in the VFL and he will be playing as that medium-sized midfielder forward by the end of the year.
Yeah, there's going to be a position. It sounds like Eddie Ford's probably in doubt for round one. He's a bit behind in pre-season and so forth. So there might be a position at half forward. I mean, we've got 100 half forwards on the list, but he very well might get a game fairly early on, to be honest with you. There's a lot of good reports about him. I've got Harry Sheasel in the midfield this year. I just think he's got to throw your best player or close to your best player in there with LDU, George Wardlaw, just throw him straight in, Will Phillips. Because I like your ideas, having him as a forward. But I think it might be a case we need someone that can use a ball to kick it forward sometimes. So, and, yeah, we don't we have a history of not having the best users of football, and I think you just throw them in there. And I think our best football, I don't know if you girls remember, but that Essendon game where we lost by a goal, we had him, Wardlaw, and Will Phillips in that midfield, and we absolutely obliterated him. And I really like him in there. I just think there's a bit of Nick Dacos about him. So let's just throw him straight in there, throw him in the deep end, and I'm sure he'll shine. So, yeah, we'll see how we go. Obviously – You're not going to miss Kane Turner too much, Siobhan, then?
I think we've all moved on by now. not necessarily, Dean, unfortunately not. I think I might if we didn't have the plethora of smalls that we do, but I think the list and I think the list has probably moved past Kane Turner, which is a positive, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Marnie, interesting to get your thoughts. You girls didn't neither one of you mentioned Curtis Taylor. Do you think he's on the outer now?
Yeah, I think Curtis Taylor's a really interesting one. He came in and he played that role on the wing towards the end of last season. He really found himself out of favour and he came in and he had a couple of really good games and obviously won himself another contract. That lockdown sort of, and this is another thing that Eddie Ford does really well, and I think it's something that Curtis Taylor can also do, is that tagger role. I think that both of them did have time last season playing that shutdown role. Eddie Ford did an incredible job on Sicily when we played Hawthorn the second time around at Marvel, and Curtis Taylor did it a little bit as well. And I think that both of them could play that role if we decided we wanted to have a tagger in the side. Do I think that he's a lock for the 22 or 23 at the start of the year? No, I don't. Could I see him playing sometime during the year? Yes, I definitely could. I think there's a lot of upside to him. He's in the same boat for me as Paul Curtis. He does. Curtis Taylor's definitely got a bit of X factor about him. He's definitely one of the best shots on goal in our side as well, but it's a lack of consistency, and we just can't. We need consistency across the board. We need consistency in the players that are playing every week. We need consistency with standards, and we need consistency with performance. And he's way too inconsistent for me. Mm. Having said that, if we decide to go down that tagger, you know, path, and we wanted to keep Eddie Ford up forward, then that is one area I could really see Curtis Taylor owning, because obviously the other one is Liam Shields, but Liam Shields isn't going to be there forever. This will most likely be his last season. So whether we, you know, opt to put Curtis Taylor in that position and persist with him there is something I could really see happening, and I wouldn't be opposed to that either.
Fair enough.
Interesting call, Marnie. I think I saw his name, and I avoided mentioning it because I don't think that he'll be on the list for a long time. I agree with everything Marnie said. I think the other reason why I don't see him playing many games is that I think he's a little bit positionless. I know that sounds like a silly comment, but I don't think we've ever found the right position on the ground for him. I think his best position is that as a mid-sized forward that can come in and out of the game. But like Marnie said, consistency. And also, I don't think that there's a particular spot on the ground where he's cemented into. I think that's also why I don't think Jaden Stevenson, in my opinion, will start, is also because of A, consistency, and B, we've floated him in different areas of the ground. Yes, his best position is a small forward, but he drifts in and out of games as well. So I think both of them are very similar in that, particularly with Curtis Taylor. I don't think that, yeah, consistency is a problem. And also he's not cementing a spot on the ground yet in my mind.
No, that's fair. I mean, I think the players have overtaken Curtis Taylor as far as mid-sized forwards. Like we've mentioned, we've got about 10 of them. And I think he's fallen down the pecking order a bit. Jaden Stevens is the interesting one. I think he'll get a game early, but, you know, a couple of bad performances, which he can have, because he can be a bit up and down, like we've sort of mentioned, then he might be on the outer because, yeah, there'll be players knocking on the door for his spot that are in a similar role. And one of them might be Braden George, who's a player coming back basically in his first year as well. So, yeah, and, yeah, a lot of good reports about him. Another rookie, Colby McKercher. Now, he's our number one pick and a midfielder. Well, we have a lot of players in that position for the team, and I don't think he'll play midfield. Do you think he gets a game round one, Marty? And I think you might have mentioned before what his role could be on the halfback flank, or was that you, Siobhan?
No, that was Siobhan, and I do agree with her. And I definitely think he has to play round one, if fit, obviously. We've got to embrace the excitement and bring him in. I don't mind that sort of halfback role like we had Sheasel in last season. I think it's really important for attacking players to learn how to defend, so they're not lazy and so they run both ways. And as Siobhan mentioned at the top of the show, our defense is probably going to be the one area of the ground that's just going to be under pressure the most throughout the season from opposition clubs. So the more players that know how to defend, the more two-way running we can inject into our players, the better off will be for it, not just in the immediate term, but in the long term as well. It's a really great way for him to learn. And it's a really great way for him to, you know, be able to actually execute some skill, which is something that we desperately need in this side. I think he needs to play round one, definitely. Almost forgot about Dersma, but I'd actually be playing both of them in round one if they're both ready and up for it. I think we've really got to embrace them, and I think we just really need to throw them into the deep end from the get-go. You know, we saw Shees more so, but Wardlaw, when he played last season, setting the standard and setting the tempo for players who've been in the side for eight seasons now. We're really letting the youth drive our way forward. And so that if that's where we're going, then both of them, I think, need to play round one for sure.
Yeah, okay. Siobhan, I think you sort of mentioned earlier you seem on the halfback flank, similar to Marnie's thinking.
I do. And why I think that's a really good idea are two words, ball use. And I think for quite a few years, I think I speak for not just myself, but a lot of North fans, we've gone to the games and we've had our hands in our heads because it's just so, we're very susceptible to turning the ball over, especially in crucial areas of the ground, or missed 5-meter passes or just basic skill errors. And I think Colby McKercher's greatest skill is probably how smooth he is with his ball use. So I think if you get ball users in that sort of area of the ground, like we saw last year with Harry Sheasel, the good ball users, magical things can happen and the game can open up for you. And the game really needs to open up for us, especially if we're going to be playing a faster, more attacking brand of footy. You have to hit those passes. So I think it's also a really safe and easy way to inject him into AFL football life. The ball comes to you. And I also think that throwing a kid straight into the midfield, I mean, for short periods, sure, but just playing pure midfield minutes straight up is probably not the best way to ease them in. So I think that's the path we'll go down. And I actually think he'll probably be really high up there in the rising star votes. The kid's a little gem. So I'm quite excited to see what he can do this year.
Yeah, definitely. I think we're all excited by him. And like you said, a very good ball user, and I guess a good player comp is Jared Pollack, money.
Please never say that name again,
Ben,
honestly.
Yeah. No, I'll move on. I don't want to finish on the sale, right? So every time someone mentions Colby McKercher, I always put a GIF of Jared Pollack underneath just to roll people up. So I don't know. I've got a weird sort of a little like that sometimes. So. Now, I have a player battle, and for me, this is an interesting one. Tom Powell and Charlie Lazaro. Marnie, do you think either one of those boys plays round one? And who do you think might get the nod if you had to pick one of them?
Charlie Lazaro is the number one example of what frustrates me about the North Melbourne Football Club and the recruiting over the past however many years. Mm-hmm. And it is that what you said, Dean, it's trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. It's Charlie Lazaro in round 23 against the Suns was unbelievable. That was the best game of football I've ever seen him play, because it was probably the first time in his career we've actually played him in his rightful position, which is in the midfield. But we have a stack of talent on our list and we just don't have places to play them. We so often are recruiting on talent, and there's nothing wrong with that. But then when you've got a need that needs to be filled, and we're sitting here and we're trying to figure out, is CCJ or Hugh Greenwood a better second punch to Nick Larkey, when neither of them really are natural forwards? And we're sitting here talking, you know, about just it blows my mind. And this is just the biggest frustration for me, because both Powell and Lazaro are good enough to play senior football week in, week out, but we don't have room for either of them to play in their rightful position. In my opinion, Lazaro, I would play round one if I had it my way. I just think he was so good against the Suns in that last round of the year. He was in the VFL squad of 40, their best, and you know, their version of the All-Australian. He's a really underrated player, but where do you play him? I mean, where do you put him? You can't. The midfield is chock-a-block as it is. It's a disservice to both parties to, you know, push him up forward or to send him down back. So what do you do with him? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, yeah. This is what is wrong with our recruiting over the past few years. So I don't think either of them will play round one, for what it's worth. I really like Tom Powell, but I think of the two players, he's had more of an opportunity in his position. But I don't think either of them play round one.
Yeah, I mean, pretty strong words there, Siobhan. And I think they're fair points. I mean, we've tried to play Lazaro as a half forward on the wing, but he can only play, well, looks of it, in the centre square. And, you know, we've recruited, you know, more midfielders this year in Colby McKercher, and you're probably thinking Harry Hughes or whatever going there. I'm thinking that anyway. But I guess who would you pick if you had to pick one of those two, if you know, to get a game?
Marnie raised some really good points, and I think that's, she highlighted something that's been my biggest frustration for some time, and that's just the clear imbalance of the list. I think the tools have been neglected, and we've gone for so many midfielders that there is quality there that's missing out, and that's really frustrating when it's so bare in some areas. I'm probably not as sold on Charlie Lazaro as perhaps you two might be. I don't see it. I think he's a good athlete. But in terms of a footballer, I'm still warming to him. I like Powell. I do. I think Tom Powell was selected at pick 13 for a reason. I think he's incredibly footy smart. But again, like, where does he fit in? They've tried him off half back, and I thought that looked okay, but there's no role really for him there. As a pure mid, we have too many of those, and I don't think he's a forward. So it's really hard to decipher where his position is on the ground. But I think he probably has more natural football skill and brains than Charlie Lazaro. And so I'd probably go Powell over Lazaro. But at the same time, Lazaro seems to have great athletic attributes himself. But I don't see the long-term prospect of Charlie Lazaro playing in the side as being feasible. But in saying that, where does Powell fit? I don't think either of them play round one either, but both of them are good enough to still be on the list. They're probably depth players in my mind, which hurts me to say, because when Tom Powell first came into the side, I honestly thought he'd be a regular in the midfield. But I'm not sure. I think the midfield's so heavily stacked that if we had some injuries, Powell would probably be first batter up, just due to his skill and smarts, in my view.
Yeah, I think the frustration with Tom Powell, and maybe you girls agree, maybe you don't, that he'll have a good spell where he kicks two goals in about 3 minutes, and then we don't see him for two quarters. Mm. It's like he's not even playing the game. So I think he's just got to be a bit more consistent. And, you know, I mean, he's probably, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Like, I think his position might be a half forward or forward pocket this year that can occasionally go into midfield, because I just think there's too many midfielders and too many quality midfielders for him to get in there. And it might be the same with Charlie Lazaro as well, unfortunately. Like, probably be on the fringes. And if there's injuries, yeah, you can call him up. But, yeah, he looked okay. Like Marnie said, he ran 23 against Gold Coast as a pure mid. But, I mean... handy depth players, I guess, for this year, but both out of contract too, so they want to have a big year too. So, yeah, we'll see how we go. I'll finish with this one. Siobhan, who is a player that might surprise people this year? I guess who could be a breakout player for you this year, possibly, that not many people are talking about?
Yeah, look, I'm sold on Dylan Stephens. I don't know why. I just think that he has probably what we don't have a lot of, which is pace, and he's got good skills, and I think he's very silky. And I don't think his recruitment is getting enough talk. I mean, there are the obvious ones that we know are going to excite us for years to come that we picked up in the draft. But I think he'll turn out to be a really more than handy player for us, for cheap as chip sort of deal. So I just think Dylan Stephens is going to play, I think, every game this year, and he'll lock down a wing spot and will actually perform week in, week out. I think he'll become a really consistent player for us. So he'd be one. And the other one, it might be a bold call, but I think Riley Hardiman, who I didn't even mention as being part of our back six, funny enough, but I think he probably won't start the year. But I just have this feeling that he'll break his way into the team, and he'll be a player that we'll be watching and going, wow, again, someone that can break lines, has good speed, good delivery. He's also really agile and athletic too. And I think by the midway point of the year, will be a consistently solid player in the back line for us. So those are two of them. There are lots of others. I mean, I didn't mention Jackson Archer, and I think that he has the possibility to come in. And if the opportunity is ever going to be there, it's now for him to lock a position down as a medium type defender as well. But I'd probably say Dylan Stevens is my one that will surprise everyone in regards to just how good he is.
Oh, I like it. Something very different there. You know, it's a good one. What about you, Marnie?
I don't know if it's someone that hasn't been spoken about, but I think Jai Simpkins is going to have a massive year this year. I think there was a lot of pressure on him and McDonald's shoulders, you know, and maybe it's the same thing with Goldstein leaving, giving Sherry an opportunity to make the ruck his own. With Zeeble moving on and Cunnington moving on, now maybe Simpkin can really step into that captaincy role and really truly embrace the leadership role. Simpkin had a good year, but I mean, you know, we've seen him win best and fairest. We've seen him just absolutely lead from the front consistently, play really strong, inspiring football, and I think that he will get back to that this year. I think he's probably had a year to really settle in. We obviously had a lot of disruptions off field as well with the whole Clarko saga last year and stepping aside, etc., etc. So I think he's really going to step up and have an outstanding year, and I really believe him and I back him in to do it. Mm-hmm. And the other one is Charlie Combin. I think he's an exceptional athlete. I think he's got so much upside, and I think that he really is ready to go for a big season. I think he has got so much to prove, and I just, you know, I obviously hope that his body can stay together and he can stay on the, you know, stay on the park for, you know, the whole season or all 23 games. But I think there, and that's obviously different again from what Siobhan said before, but they're just two players that I think are both really in their own way due to have big seasons, and I really believe in both of them to step up and do so.
Yeah, I like the Josh Inkin one because he did have a bit of a down year last year. I think he only got over 30 possessions in one game last year, whereas the previous year to that, he got 8 or 9. So, yeah, he had a bit of a down year. Siobhan, where do you think he plays this year? Do you think he plays like a high half forward, or do you think we just put him straight in the midfield again?
No, I think Jai's a purebred mid now. I just have a feeling that, he'll be straight in the guts, and alongside LDU are probably going to be the two real true bulls coming out of there. So I'd suggest Simkin, LDU, George Wardlaw, and then a whole heap rotating through there. But I would think he'd be one of the first two selected in regards to a pure mid.
Marnie, just one last player, Will Phillips. Obviously a big year coming up for him. Do you think he gets a game?
Yeah, this has to be his year. I think that if he can't make it work this year, then it's a bust for me. And I feel really guilty saying that and probably putting that kind of pressure on him. But I think it's now or never. We've got, and we just spoke about this, we've got talent coming out of our ears in the midfield. And I think that he, in my opinion, when he got a bit of consistency in his game and when he was able to have 2, 3, 4 games in a row in the senior side, he really started to show a lot of promise. I don't understand why he was in and out of the side last season. I thought he played pretty good football throughout, that he should have actually just retained his spot. I don't think it did him any favours, especially not for his confidence. So I would start him and I would play him. And unless it goes horribly wrong, like I said, with Charlie Coleman down back, unless it goes horribly wrong, I'd persist with him there in hope that, you know, he bears the fruits that we're all kind of expecting and hoping he does.
Yeah, we're certainly hoping. Yeah, big year coming up for him. He's apparently, from all reports, looking really good in the preseason. So, yeah, I think he gets a good opportunity at it this year. He seems to work, yeah, really well with, like, LDU, you know, being an in and under player. Very good clearance player in that regard. I've got a couple, Josh Goeder and Paul Curtis. I think Josh Goeder will have a really good year. I think, yeah, he's a good rebounding defender. If we play run and gun style, he's got a long penetrating kick. He'll be very handy. And Paul Curtis as the other one. I know you've sort of, you didn't talk him up too much there, Marnie, but I think he'll kick 40 plus goals this year as a second forward.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm thinking,
yeah, no, I think we all would. But girls, it's been a pleasure. Also, just shout out Marnie or Josh Neal of the Further North podcast if you want more details about the live show coming up in Feb. So, yeah, and that's with Charlie Condon as well. So, yeah. Anyways, Marnie, thank you so much for popping on tonight. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks so much for having me, Dean. Thanks, Siobhan.
Siobhan, always good to hear your voice, and I'm sure we'll chat soon. And thanks for your insights tonight.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure speaking to you both. And you guys have got me very excited for the new year. It's a very, very exciting time up ahead. So, yeah, always a pleasure having a chat.
So thank you very much to those lovely ladies for coming on once again. A lot to discuss, probably a lot longer than I thought we would, but no, it was a great chat, and I'm sure all you lovely listeners enjoyed it as well. And thank you to all you lovely listeners for all the likes, retweets, and comments you all put out for the show. It's much appreciated. I couldn't do this podcast without your support, so if you can tell your friends, leave a rating, review, do all that fun stuff, that would be much appreciated. So that's it for tonight. I will be back next week. Don't forget to hit up Marnie and Josh Neal at Further North if you want any more details about what's coming up there. So, yeah, that's it. Anyways, so tonight I will leave a shout-out to Marnie Cohen and Siobhan Rowe. Bye for now, and go Roos!